Amen. I was sitting there thinking a while ago as Tom was preaching, I said, it'd be nice if the Lord let me go into heaven on what he did, he's done, and all those things. But you see, that's selfish. But I tell you, it wasn't very long ago, the doctor told me, he said, you can't lift no more than 5 pounds.
That's right.
I need some help. But God's good anyway, isn't he?
Amen.
Good to be here. Good to see all these people from Texas and all around, ain't it? And we're glad for it to be here. Turn with me to John 3:16 in the Word of God, and we'll follow along as we read this marvelous Word here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be here with your people. Thank you for your love and mercy to us, Lord. Give us strength that we need to serve you better than we ever have before, Lord. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Well, I'll preach to you a little bit about a wonderful teaching in the Word of God.
That's right.
And it needs to be applied to some people even here, some of the younger people. The new birth.
Amen.
Now, what is the new birth? It is not the removal of anything from the sinner. It is not the changing of anything within the sinner. It's not the communication of something to the sinner. The new birth is the impartation of a new nature.
That's right.
Well, I remember when the Lord gave me that new nature, don't you? That was just like yesterday. Been a few years now. About 78 years old, getting a little older all the time. But that new birth don't seem like it's getting older, it's getting more powerful. Because I need more power, don't you? The new birth. Some of you have never been born again. I'm afraid that there are. But if you have never been born again, you need the new birth. And you need it bad.
Amen.
When I was born the first time, I received my parents' nature.
Yeah.
When I was born the second time, I received God's nature.
That's
right. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, whereby are given to us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. I hope there's not anybody here that's not been born again. But with this number of people, you'd almost have to say you think they are. I've been wrong before. But I hope I'm wrong on that. I hope every one of you that are here are born again. And you can feel it in your heart that you belong to God. And you want to live for Him till He comes back for you. God told Moses in the Old Testament time to make a serpent out of brass.
Right.
and fix it on a pole.
Right.
The Israelites grumbled here. God turned the snakes loose on them, didn't he? They began to die, and he told him when he built that brass snake hanging in the camp, right in the middle of the camp where all the people could see it and look upon it. But you know, as you think with me for a little while here this afternoon, God told Moses to make that serpent. But there are seven things the Israelites were not told to do. They were not told to manufacture some ointment as a means of healing their wounds. The religious doctors of the day are busy inventing lotions, but they don't have any cure. They're kind of like that poor woman in Mark chapter 5, verse 26. It tells us about her there. It says she suffered many things. Many Pharisees, no, any physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. They were told not to minister to others who would, if you think about that for a minute, we are told, we're not told to minister to others. They were not to fight the serpents. They wouldn't do any good. They were already bitten. They were laying there dying. I can just see that crowd there today. What does fighting sin amount to in this world? That's what we do many times. You know, the flesh is a good outlet for sin. They were not told to make an offering to the serpent on the pole. Now, a lot of people would try to make the offering to get by if they could. But grace would cease to be grace if any price is paid for what it brings. No person can be saved by bringing a price to God. He brings the price to us, doesn't he? He's the one that's paid the price. And we find it in this great and glorious scripture that I read in your hearing. They were not told to pray to the serpent. Now, we hear a lot about praying through and those kind of things, but people. But what they're doing is substituting prayer for faith in Jesus Christ. And that won't work, will it? It won't work. They were not told to look on Moses. People's got an idea that the leaders can do things for you that sometimes God doesn't let them do for you, or me, or anyone else. Only trusting in Him is what we need. We need to work for Him. Titus 3:5 said, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us.
Amen.
They were not told to look at their wounds. Those people were in bad shape, and those snakes had turned loose on them. And it doesn't tell us how many times they'd been bitten or how bad their wounds were, but they were bitten. And if you're not born again, you've been bitten. You need the new birth. What a great thing it is to have that new birth from God. They were not to look at their wounds, or to try to find their own help to that way, and that won't work either. But God has ways that works. And when he uses his way, that's what really counts. Your new birth is brought about by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon the human heart. I hope that has been down in your heart so you know without a doubt I've been born again. Regeneration follows adoption. Regeneration describes the persons who have the power to become the sons of God. Who are they that are saved by the grace of God? In John chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13 says, "But as many as received Him, to Him gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." What regeneration is very mysterious. A lot of times we like to figure out things, don't we? Think we do, and sometimes we don't get it quite like we think it ought to be. It's so unaccountable to a natural man, this birth that I'm talking about. It was so with Nicodemus. He was a master in Israel, an educated man. But he didn't understand about the new birth. Just think about that. And that staggers us when we know how little we really know, isn't it? When we are placed where we are. But you know, he was a master in Israel, but he is a Pharisee. He needed a new birth. He needed a bad. He didn't understand it at all, did he? The second birth is in holiness and righteousness. The first birth are polluted and unclean. The second birth, because it becomes holy and commence saints. In this new man, there are new eyes to see. I'll never forget. God save my soul. I walked outside that night, looked up in the stars. I said, "Man, isn't that beautiful?" You know why it's beautiful? There's a change down in here.
Amen.
And the new man are new eyes to see. Can you remember before you had those new eyes, what you looked at, what you enjoyed looking at? But when you're born again, that leaves that person. The regenerated have a seeing eye made by the Lord. That's why it's different. Regeneration is expressed by being quickened.
Right.
Now, we know what quickened is. It means something happened within.
Yeah.
That's the way this birth is that I'm talking about. The new birth is a passing from death to life. Regeneration is denied to be a man. No man can ever give you the new birth. You can try and you can do whatever you can do and it still will fall short. Boy, we that have been born again, man, we are on high ground here today. How great it is to be a child of God, to be able to call Him our Lord and our Savior. In regeneration, men are created in Christ Jesus, what? Unto good works. That's the people that are doing the work of the Lord through His churches. Those that have been born again. And that makes a difference in the way they do and what to do. In the effects of call of the eyes of them are standing opened, being enlightened. Regeneration is not other than the spiritual light in the understanding. The new man has new hands to handle and to work with. Regeneration has passed from death to life, and it signified here, regeneration is said to be partaking of the divine nature over and over again. It brings that nature. That's how important the new birth is that we're talking about. I may not can bring too much to you that you'd understand today. But if you've been born again, I can tell you, you must be born again. And you know what I'm talking about. And that makes all the difference in the world this afternoon. The change is more than the change of the Ethiopian skin and the leopard spot. The nature of the earth, the nations of the earth are made by one man's blood. Now, sin is not brought about that way in the way of grace. All power, think about how powerful it'd be if God called on us to give someone a new birth. You know what? All the power of all the men and angels can't regenerate one sinner. Not one. A good parent would regenerate every child he has if he could do that. We'd be the worst people in the world if we had the new birth and didn't give it out if we could do it ourselves, wouldn't we? That lets us know the Lord's in the saving business now, instead of what we do. It's in His hand. What a great God we have. Christ's resurrection was the first step in His glorification. So in regeneration to the seeing and entering into the kingdom of God. Oh, we're standing on high cotton today. Standing in the kingdom of God with the other saints of God. The death of Christ was a supreme demonstration of God's love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's a few thoughts here about His love. I want to leave with you this afternoon. Because these are great things. There are seven things here in this verse, John 3:16, that tells us about God's love. The tense of His love is God so loved. It's not God loves, but God loved.
Right.
Romans 5:8 says, God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Jeremiah 31:3 said, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Notice the majesty of His love. God so loved. None can define or measure the little word soul in this John 3:16. These are dimensions to the breadth and height and depth and length of all the wondrous love that none can measure. The scope of God's love. God so loved the world. He was not limited to the narrow bounds of Palestine, but it flows out to sinners and Gentiles too. The nature of God's love. God so loved the world that He gave. That's how you know you got the real God. He's a giving God. He seeks the highest interest of others and not Himself. Love is unselfish, for it gives. And that's what He does. The sacrificial character of God's love, He gave it only begotten Son. But God called on us today to give our only begotten Son. You can see why that so many people are off on everything but the real things. They try to make things happen, but sometimes they start out a little bit and then they fall to the ground. But they come from the wrong places. Sacrificial character of His love. God spared not His best. He freely delivered up Christ, even the death of the cross. The design of His love, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish. If you have the new birth, you'll not perish. Many died in the wilderness here. I don't know how many of them died, but I know they were bitten by serpents, poisonous serpents. Many of Adam's race will suffer eternal death in the lake of fire. And the benevolence of God's love, it says, but have everlasting life. I get lost in that, don't you? Everlasting life. When you're born again, God gives you everlasting life.
Amen, sir.
Everlasting life. The supreme importance of the new birth. The new birth forms the first subject that the Savior was teaching in John's Gospel here. But how men are made alive spiritually. The importance of the new birth is declared by the solemn terms in which Christ spoke. Lord, begin by saying, verily, verily, which means of a truth, of a truth. He wanted them, He used these kind of words that he might understand more about the new birth. The new birth is an imperative necessity, that's why. The natural man is altogether devoid of spiritual life. He's in a sad shape. The new birth is the impartation of the new nature to a sinner like us. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. If I can't get anything else over to you today, I hope you understand what I'm saying when I say you must be born again. And if you have been born again, you have a blessing that others have never had or never will have until they are born of the Spirit of God. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Ryan. You must be born again. It doesn't matter who you are.